to come with me to the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, probably a familiar story to many of you. I invite you, if you're able, to stand, either in your body or in your heart, however God allows you to do so, to show reverence for God's Word, which is found on the screen. I would guess as we go through this, many of you will find these words familiar. But if you don't find them familiar, listen. Because whether these are words you've heard for the 1,000th time or the very first time, know that the Holy Spirit uses these words to speak to us today. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood with them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Your scriptures have been read, and your Spirit has worked mightily among us. Now use this time, God. It is yours entirely as you see fit to proclaim your message to your people today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you'll forgive my voice. When the flowers start to bloom and the buds begin to release that pollen, I am allergic to earth. I have a list in my Bible of all the things I'm allergic to, and it's basically the entire planet, except for mold, which Kristen is allergic to. So we've got the entire base covered, but my voice this time of year usually begins to fade, and for some of you that might be good news, but for myself, it makes it hard. I just can't yell at the boy like I want to. Come on. Now, do you believe I yell at my son? Sometimes. But it's just part of life in my world that when spring comes, the allergies come. And I'm thankful that I can see that beauty, but I'm also thankful that it doesn't last that long and eventually the flowers fade and the winter comes and I don't have to worry about that. But I am thankful to be with you this morning. Usually I take the week off after Easter, but just the way schedule worked out, it was better to be here with you to share with you what's on my heart this morning, what God has placed there by his Holy Spirit. And when I miss the Sunday after Easter, that's typically in the life of the church, the time when we talk about doubting Thomas. And maybe you've heard that name before, doubting Thomas. If you haven't, here we find in the scripture this example of this man who is one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, whose name is Thomas. He's called Didymus, which means twin. So somewhere in the world was Thomas's twin. And he was a man who wanted to experience personally what the other disciples had experienced. Jesus appeared to the disciples at a moment when Thomas wasn't there. And they experienced this mountaintop holy moment, the risen Christ in flesh appearing in resurrected form, shows himself to the disciples. And in that moment, they experience the peace of Christ, and he breathes on them. It says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he gives them this strange message. He says to them, "If you forgive someone of their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive someone of their sins are not forgiven." Sometimes we skip over that portion of the message that Jesus gives because it's difficult for us to understand, and we're more excited about the resurrected Jesus. We're more excited about this story of Thomas. We forget that God has given us a charge, that Jesus knows that he will not be continuing to walk on the earth in his resurrected form for very long, that he is going to ascend to heaven. He is going to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he's going to wait for a day to come back that only God knows, to come and judge the world. In the meantime, Jesus has given us this charge to be this group of people called the church, who are called by his name. And with that comes incredible power. In fact, we have the power to offer forgiveness of sins, something which only God can do. He gives that to us as his body, the church, to offer to anyone who needs it, to hear the words that we so desperately need to hear in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Whenever I tell people those words, I never take it lightly. I never take it lightly that "I forgive you" are powerful, life-changing words. Words that have power to transform this world. Words that have power to bring about the peace of Jesus Christ in this earthly realm of ours. When was the last time you offered forgiveness to someone? When was the last time you actually said from the very lips that God gave you, "I forgive you"? When was the last time you said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven"? Those are words that need to be spoken. Those are words that need to be said to a world that is so desperate for the forgiveness, for the peace, for the blessing, the grace that comes only from God. To hear those words is life-changing, is transformative. I challenge you to find some way to use those words this week, and not in a trivial fun time, "I forgive you, yeah," and move on. Find someone who has highly offended you. Find someone who you can't even, you wouldn't even want to look at them. Find someone who you they have so burned you, so hurt you, that there's nothing further from your heart than to want to forgive them. And use those words. And see if God won't work in a mighty and powerful way in whatever that relationship is. It may just be, whatever. Okay. You don't know what the response of that person who receives those words is, but good news, friends. Good news. That's not your job. That's not what God's called you to do. Now follow up on them. Your job is to be the church. "I forgive you. Jesus has given me the power to forgive you, and I forgive you." And it's on them. Then it's on them to do with those words whatever God places on their heart. You may see no change in their behavior. You may see no change in the way they live their life. You may see no change at all in anything in that relationship. But you will have done what God has called you to do, to offer the forgiveness that God's given to you, to that person who so desperately, even if they don't know it, need it. Challenging words from our Savior, from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so easy, isn't it, to say Jesus is my Savior. But when we say Jesus is my Lord, sometimes he challenges us to do things that are uncomfortable to us, that make us do things that we would rather not do. And that forgiveness that we can offer is just one of those things. But after he has done this, after Jesus has given this word to this group of men and women who will become the church, he's gone. Just as surely as he was with them, he is now missing. No one knows where Jesus goes in those times when he's not present among the disciples. The disciples don't know, so they couldn't write it down. But here comes Thomas after this great moment. Hey guys, what happened? And they proclaim to him this word that makes no sense. We've seen Jesus. He's risen. He is alive today. He's as he was before the crucifixion. We saw him. And we put our hands in the markings of his wounds. We saw him. He's alive. And what is Thomas's response to that? Are you kidding me? You know, I know what happened to Jesus. I saw the crucifixion. I know he is dead as dead can be. He was tortured. He was murdered. And you guys are kidding me, right? It would be like me coming in here and saying, hey guys, I got this great news. There's a taco truck in the back of the church. And you could say, you know, well, pastor, where is the proof of the taco truck in the back of the church? You know, where is the proof that you have for me? You know, if I came in here eating a taco and told you, hey, you know, taco truck out back, there might be more evidence. But to just come in here out of the blue and tell you, there's a taco truck out the back, you're going to look at me like Thomas looked at those disciples. Let's go get the tacos, Kristen. I'm sorry, there is no taco truck. There are donuts after service today, but no tacos. But it's that same thing. We look at poor Thomas with such judgment, with such arrogance. You know, if I had been Thomas and I had been there and the disciples had told me that Jesus was risen, I would have believed them. But friends, we're looking at this story through 2,000 years of people telling us and proclaiming to the world that Jesus Christ is risen. Thomas is the first person who walks in and says, what do you mean? Jesus is risen. I saw his body. He's dead. You know, guys, maybe a little too much of these. You know, come on, guys. You know, there's something going on here. You guys aren't quite with it. We have such judgment, but if we were Thomas, we would be in the exact same boat. We would do the exact same thing. We would be just as Thomas was, wondering, you know, have my friends gone loco? Have my friends gone crazy? What's wrong with them that they would say these things to me? How cruel of you. You know, there's joking about things, but this is serious. And why would you say such a thing to me? You all got to touch him if he was here and saw those markings in his hands and saw the wound in his side. You got to experience that personally, but I haven't. And unless I do the same thing that you did, unless I see that those same wounds and I experience the same thing you did, then I won't believe. How often, though, in our own lives, does someone come to us with that kind of news? They have a mountaintop experience. They go to Jamonville. They go to Camp Allegheny. They experience a mighty movement of the Holy Spirit in their life. And all they want to do is tell people how exciting it was. I went to camp. I went to church. I did this great thing. God really moved in my life, and I'm ready to make a new start. I'm really on fire for the Lord. How often does someone come along and say, nah, you didn't really experience that thing that you experienced. You didn't really experience that moment, you know, because I didn't experience it myself. And if I didn't experience it, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's just not real. That's who poor Thomas is. He's no different than any one of us. he's wondering, what in the world's gone wrong with these people that they are saying this absurd, unbelievable thing, that Jesus Christ is alive. That though he was dead as dead could be, now he's alive? Prove it to me. Thomas is our crime scene investigator. Anybody like to watch those shows find the villain who did this awful crime, and the show gives you clues, and you have to, that crime scene investigation team takes the time and they examine all the evidence before they make a decision. And that's important, isn't it? Because if those teams don't take the time to thoroughly examine the evidence, oftentimes they draw the wrong conclusions. But when they go back to the evidence, they discover that there was some piece that they didn't see that connects it all together. And when it's connected for them, they can make a right judgment. When Jesus appears to Thomas, he says to him, come and see and do exactly what you said. Put your hands right here. Touch my side. Scripture doesn't say, so Thomas did that. Scripture says that Thomas proclaimed, my Lord and my God. You see, Thomas got it. He needed to see, but once he saw, the evidence all clicked for him, and it was not, Jesus is a pretty cool guy who walked this earth. He knows more deeply than even the other disciples what was taking place here. This man, Jesus, is not some person who rose from the dead. He is God, and not just a God. He is, for Thomas, my God. He is, for Thomas, my Lord, my Savior, my King. And isn't it the same for us? How many of us, we just need that one piece of evidence, that one thing that will save us from our doubting. And friends, we all doubt. We all have those moments in our lives where just doesn't make sense. Why is the world this way? Why is my life this way? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to the world? We all have those moments of doubt. We all have those moments. But Jesus says, this promise to Thomas, you've seen and now you believe. How much more blessed are those who don't see but still believe? How much more are you blessed when even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of your suffering, even in the midst of your doubts, you still cling to the faith in Jesus Christ? That will really strengthen your faith. In the moments of the most, when it seems like God is furthest away, to still trust that God has you, to still trust that God's not going to let you go, that God cares for you and loves you, how much more does that strengthen your faith than to have some sign from up above? That's what Jesus wants for us, that we trust, and even when it seems like all is lost, we still trust in the words that Jesus gives to us, the grace that he gives to us, and the love that he gives to us. And so, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit, and know that in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Share that with the world. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.